one God, amen. Today is the third Sunday of Lent, and actually my favorite week of Lent, because I love the parable of the prodigal son. I love the parable of the prodigal son because it resonates with me, probably for the same reason it resonates with us all. Because as St. Paul says in Romans 3, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Destruction and misery are his ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. When I think of the prodigal son, I think those verses line up with his life. And St. Paul summarizes all of that later. He says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." So I am the prodigal son. And when I live in sin, I leave my father's house. But I come back to my father's house through repentance. The prodigal son got me thinking about our modern times. And these days are characterized by many people leaving their father's house. The statistics on the numbers of people who are leaving the church are staggering. I read many alarming statistics this morning, and I'll share a few with you. One study said that over the past 25 years, an estimated 40 million people in this country have stopped going to church. Another study found that the median congregation size in the United States has dropped by 52%. And, you know, these statistics are not numbers. These are souls. This is a reality. And if I asked for a show of hands, how many people know someone who grew up in the church, but now like barely believes in God? Show of hands. You guys don't know anybody? And I'm the only one? This is like touches like the core, like it's touching our families, it's touching our church, it's touching everyone. And even the sad irony is that the church that you are sitting in, these pews that you are sitting in, used to be another church, and that church didn't make it. It didn't survive. And we bought it, and now we have it. And actually, they expanded and they built this beautiful church and they did all this thing. And the church died. Another study said that by 2070, half of churches will be closed. Half of churches will be closed by 2070. One time I was meeting a Catholic priest and we were talking, and I'll never forget this discussion. I was asking him, how's the service? He said, the mission of our bishop is to effectively close half of our churches. And I remember being like, what do you mean? The mission of the church is to effectively close half of the churches? But this is the reality that we are facing. And that's why today I want to meditate with you on why the prodigal son left his father's house and why he came back. And I feel this gospel and the readings of this Blessed Sunday contain many of the, like a solution to many of the difficult questions that we are asking. First, let's understand why the prodigal son left his father's house and why so many are leaving the church. And the first reason that I have to say is that I have to point at myself, the leadership of the church. I feel many people are leaving the church because of poor leadership on the part of priests, poor leadership on the part of servants, poor leadership on the part of parents. And I have to start by leadership, because if you look at the Bible and you look at the whole Bible as a whole, if you notice, the Bible is actually a series of stories about different leaders that God raises up to lead his people toward God. He raises up Moses. He raises up Elijah. He raises up David. He raises up great leaders. And if the leader is good, the people will follow. If the leader is bad, the church will fail. And so, if the church is failing at these numbers, we have to start with the leadership. And actually, this point on leadership was inspired by the Gospels that we read in Vespers last night. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Vespers last night, the Gospel was the Lord Jesus Christ criticizing the Pharisees and saying, "These people, the Pharisees, they draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And then our Lord, in the Gospel last night, in the Ashaya, it said, "They are blind leaders leading the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both fall into the ditch." The prodigal son, he ended up in the ditch. And all who leave the church, unfortunately, will end in the ditch. And what a shame to my priesthood if I lead you to the ditch rather than the path to the eternal life. What a shame to our servants and our parents if we lead our children to the ditch. That's why the first line of the Catholic epistle of today, the first line of the Catholic epistle today said, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive stricter judgment." May God have mercy on us, and I ask for your prayers. The solution to this is not to say, "Okay, I don't want stricter judgment. Khalas, when someone else take the priesthood and I'm gone." That's not the solution. I cannot leave my priesthood, and you servants and parents, you cannot leave your responsibility. The solution is repentance. The solution is to apologize if we have offended anyone. The solution is to absorb the criticism. The solution is to answer our call from God. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you in the service? When we were in Italy a few weeks ago, we were in a city and we realized, Yanni, it's not just me, we realized that all the churches are dead. And we happened to be in a cathedral on a Sunday at 9 o'clock. And the cathedral, I'm telling you, this whole church is the size of the altar of the cathedral. This whole church is the size of the altar of the cathedral. And if you count how many people are in the cathedral on a Sunday, more people, للأسف, pray with me 5 a.m. on Thursday than there were in that cathedral on a Sunday. And I remember crying in myself, asking, where is everybody in this city? Where is everybody in this city? And then I started thinking, God, why don't you send a leader to these people to preach to them, to bring them back? Don't you care about the millions and millions of people in this city who are drifting away from your church? And then I was struggling and distraught. And then finally I was thinking, I was like, yes, God actually, He does send many leaders. And He sends many people to His church. Like He sent Jonah. Actually, we went to Italy right after Jonah. So I was thinking about Jonah. And God sends people. And God sent Jonah to lead 120,000 people in the city of Nineveh. You think God is going to let a whole city of millions and people to go to nothing? Of course He's sending people. But then this hit me. What if Jonah doesn't want to go preach? Isn't that the story that we always read? Jonah doesn't want to do his service. So Jonah runs away from his service. The leader who is called to lead doesn't want to lead. The servant who's called to service, he doesn't want to serve. And then God said, no, Jonah. I mean, Jonah, He could find anybody else and say, go preach to this people. But God wanted Jonah. And I feel that God wants you And God wants me to lead the service, to bring back God's people. This starts by each person answering their call. What is our call? God, what are you calling me to serve in? No one to be here to say, I don't want to serve, and I don't do this, I can't, and people, this. No, God is calling you to a service. My answer, I hope for you today is that you are not like Jonah, that you answered the call to serve. Because Luke 15 has three famous parables in it. The first two parables are about the lost sheep and the lost coin. And the last one's called the lost son, actually. In the first two parables, the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, the shepherd and the woman, they are actively seeking something lost. The shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one. The woman, she sweeps her whole house. She lights the candle. She's sweeping everywhere, looking everywhere for this lost coin. This is a great reminder for us servants, us leaders in the church, that we should be diligently searching after all those who leave the church. Who leave this church. And I believe that if we do this, I believe we can stop the bleeding in the body of Christ and reverse many of the terrible statistics that I shared with you at the beginning. I wish that every servant can say today what St. Paul, he said at the end of the Acts today. If you didn't realize, St. Paul was giving his defense of his ministry in the book of Acts today. And he said, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense before God and men. I strive to have a conscience without offense before God and men. The second reason, another reason people are leaving the church is because lack of community. In all the surveys that I read this morning, the main reason that people leave the church, or one of the main reasons, is because they say they don't fit in. And the other day I was speaking to someone and asking them why they don't come to church or why they, you know, whatever. And they said, we don't have friends at church. And from the gospel of today, it doesn't seem like the brothers, I was wondering, what if the brothers, those brothers, they had a good relationship together? What if those brothers, they like loved each other? You think the older brother would have interceded and said, Habibi, don't do this, come. But I feel like the older brother was like, you want to leave? Go. I don't care. Ahsan, more for me. And the older brother actually, I feel like, almost pushed his brother out. Just like Joseph was pushed out by his other brothers. They didn't care about him. And I feel like sometimes there's tension between families, tension between groups in the church. And the result of this tension is that people say, I don't want tension. So they leave. And in the early church, the hallmark of the church was the community. The hallmark of the church was the community. They wanted to be together. The people in the church, they wanted to be together. I don't know why I feel that sometimes we don't want to be together. And nowadays we destroy our community, and actually we don't even realize it. We destroy our community with partiality. With partiality. We destroy our community by creating cliques and groups of people. And we think that this is like okay because we have like common interests. And actually, I don't want to speak about our problem in particular because then I don't want to put my finger right in the wound. So I'll tell you about another church. Actually, one of the big churches in Egypt. In one of the big churches in Egypt, there's a huge income disparity among the parishioners. That's very common for some of the big churches in Egypt. So you know what the big churches in Egypt have decided to do? They split the service. Like the rich Sunday school kids, they have their own Sunday school. Sunday school for the rich kids. And the low-income people, they have their own Sunday school. And actually, unfortunately, like, I'm not trying to criticize them. I'm not trying to criticize them, because actually, I'm sure they tried many other ways, but the partiality, the divisions were so hard. Can you imagine, like I can imagine the servants saying, please everybody, deal with everybody with love. But like in their minds, they couldn't break this partiality. So the servants in their desire to, you know, keep everyone from being offended from each person. You imagine a rich kid comes in, he's making fun of someone else, and then the poor kid comes back and says, and then they just sit there and they're making fun of each other. Like, this is like disastrous. So, yani, in an effort to keep peace, they decided to have rich kid Sunday school and poor kid Sunday school. That sounds awful. And actually, it's against the teaching of the Bible. But unfortunately, I feel like they have to do it because unless they want to stay divided. They want to stay divided. And I was reading a study one time, and this study really broke my heart. They said the key to having a unified church. You know what the key to having a unified church is? They said to have everyone become of the same socioeconomic status. Can you believe that? Like our church would be more unified if everybody was of the same... Do you guys believe this? This is disastrous. What unifies a church is our love for Jesus. Not that we have the same amount in our bank accounts. But we have let these concepts come into our church. And now we split each other based on our interest. Oh, your personality is different than mine. Oh, you look different than mine. Oh, your age is different than mine. Oh, your language is different than mine. And I hate to say this, but that's not Christian love. That breaks community. This breaks community. This is not Christian love. This is self-love. If I love people who are like me, where's the community? Where's the community? The Lord said, if you love those who love you, what reward have you? I mean, they're just like you. You be like them. And do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, if you only just like your brethren or the people that are cool and in your clique, yeah, nice, cool. What do you do more than others? Do not even tax collectors do the same? We need to break our cliques. The cliques drive people away. Genuine community and love of the brethren, this brings people to this together. I want to end this point by thanking actually one of the groups in our church, like the fellowship youth. Because many, many youth come and visit our church from many different places. And after, they always say, Abuna, your youth are so very warm. Your youth are very welcoming. Your youth are very friendly. Your youth are very accepting. So, Yani, I'm very proud of the fellowship group. To make a community, we need that spirit. And I hope all the people in the church can have that spirit. To break down the barriers or to cross the barriers, not to let the barriers dictate and break our community. Yeah? Another reason that people leave the church, sorry, I'm passionate about this topic, is that the personal priorities of people, they change. So sometimes people, their interests change. And the prodigal son, I could say, he was no longer interested in living in his father's house. Or he didn't see the value of living in his father's house. And so sometimes I wonder, do we question, like, do we lose value of why we're in the... Do we question why we fast, why we pray? Because if we don't value these things, then I can find other things that I value more. And I would rather spend my time, instead of coming to church on a Sunday and hearing Abuna speak, I could find a lot of other activities on a Sunday to do that would fill my time that are much more entertaining and much more fun. So what are the things that we value? Sometimes people think the church is too restrictive and the rules of the church actually drive people away. And many people are being driven away because of politics and stances of the church. The prodigal son, he wanted to have his freedom. He wanted to do what he wanted to do. And a lot of people these days are leaving because they have an illusion of freedom that is outside, but it is not real. St. Paul, he said in his epistle to the Corinthians today, he said, St. Paul speaking to the people, he said, Habibi, you are not restricted by us. You are restricted by your own affections. Your own affections. Many people are leaving the church because of their own affections, their passion, their lust. They want to experiment. And that's why St. Paul, he says in his epistle to the Romans, he says, when you do this experiment, he asks, what fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. We see the end of rebellion. Rebellion always ends in death. That was Absalom's fate when he rebelled against David. The affections of the younger son caused him to pack up his things and to go to a far country. He went to a far country. St. Ambrose, he says about this far country, he said, what could be more distant than losing oneself, becoming a foreigner, not due to geography, but because of lifestyle choices, because of our habits. Our habits actually determine which house you are living in. Our habits, our lifestyle can make us live in a far country. That's why when the youth come and say, Abuna, why can't we date? And then people think that this is because our culture. Our culture tells us, no, we don't date. Is it our culture that tells, is it because it's a far country? Or is it our lifestyle? The way we live, the Bible teaches us the way we should live. How can we return? How can we return to the Father's house? We return to the Father's house by repentance. We return by seeing the truth, by seeing that we are in poverty. And I feel that repentance can be a little awkward. Can you imagine a son who left his father's house and has ruined his inheritance? And now he has the audacity or even the boldness to go and appear before his father's house. This is repentance. But be bold like the prodigal son and say, and go to the father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. So make me as one of your hired servants. I love this idea that at the beginning of the story of the prodigal son was saying, Give me God. He comes back to the Father and he says, Make me one of your hired servants. And actually, I love this phrase, make me. It reminded me of the refrain that we say so often in the Great Lent. In the Great Lent, we say, in the doxology, if you remember the doxology that we prayed this morning, make me like the publican. Make me like the publican. Make me like the adulteress. Make me like the thief. Make me. Transform me. Renew me. When we come back to the Father's house, we need to say, make me. Transform me. I'm ready to be like clay in your hands. Transform me into your image. And the second idea of why I think the prodigal son could come back to his father's house is because of the amazing love of the Father. The amazing love of the Father. He knew that the Father would take him in. And we should know that we should, if we come back to the church in repentance, that we will be taken in. And not only will we be taken in, there will be a great celebration. There is a great celebration for anyone who comes back to the church. That's why it says there was feasting. And our Lord said that there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than 99 just persons. Every time someone repents and confesses, I always think about the celebration that's happening in heaven. And all the saints rejoicing because this person who was lost is found. Today we want to come back. We want to remember our service. We want to remember our community. We want to offer genuine repentance and say to the Lord, make me as your hired servant. And the Lord will make us as genuine sons. And glory be to God forever. Amen. Yeah.